Hey guys, this is Brian, and just a quick note, this episode was recorded all the way back on March 11th, and Ben and I made some disturbingly accurate conjecture about what was going to happen with WrestleMania and some of what wrestling was doing, and yeah, so this was before everything kind of went into full lockdown, but I hope everybody out there is safe and healthy and staying home, and yeah, so this is a great episode. Ben was awesome. He's definitely coming back, and enjoy. Hey, welcome back to the Infest Podcast. This is Brian, and joining me this week is special guest.
Hi, I'm Ben Silverio. I am the co-host of Time to Party with Ben and Aaron, a new time travel podcast coming at you very soon. I also did a bunch of other podcasts before that you probably haven't heard of, but they were fun. Anyway.
Hey, dude. Welcome, man. I'm glad you're here. I'm really excited for Time to Party to like really kick off, just so I can send you angry notes about why I don't like time travel movies.
Are you going to be like that guy?
No, because I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it publicly. I'm sending them just directly, like, you know, because we had this chat in Chicago, like, you know, about how I don't really care for time travel, and we've talked about it a couple times. So I think it's a huge MacGuffin, and they never follow their own rules. And yeah, so. But we'll get to that later. So, hey, welcome to the show. Happy to have you. For everyone who out there who doesn't know, Ben and I used to be collaborators, colleagues at sciencefiction.com, where Ben wrote hundreds of amazing articles.
Thank you.
You actually, like, you kind of picked up my slack when I stepped back to, like, a super, like, you know, halftime role of, hey, I really just want to do this to keep the email address.
so back when you became the Brock Lesnar of sciencefiction.com?
Absolutely. I think that is a fair statement, because I do just kind of pop in every now and then to stir up shit and then, like, disappear for a month. But yeah, no. So, I mean, we've known each other for a while. We actually met for the first time in person last year in Chicago, when I was up in Chicago, which was awesome. Had an amazing Chinese meal.
Good.
Like, what was that? The Three Happiness?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to go back there so bad. Like, I keep trying to find reasons to go to Chicago. Yeah. So anyway, so kicking off, we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff. So Ben is also a huge wrestling fan, just like myself. So we're gonna talk some wrestling today. We're gonna talk some Avengers MCU stuff. Ben is actually new to Star Trek, which I just found out literally today. So we're gonna unpack that, and then we're gonna get into some comic book stuff if there's time. So yeah. All right. So kicking off, Avengers Campus was announced, the opening today. And if you're listening to this, guys, we're recording this on Wednesday the 11th, so some of this may change, some of it may not, but whatever. So they announced it opens when in July?
July 18th, 2020 in Disney California Adventure Park.
Have you been to California Adventure yet?
I have. I went like the summer it opened.
Oh, cool.
So I remember the original layout of California Adventure, but I've gone back a handful of times to see how much it's changed. Yeah. And you know, like, I've been on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, and like, I've gotten to see this park evolve into something that was so disjointed and not a very Disney product.
Yeah, it was a weird hodgepodge of things.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was like a postcard come to life, basically.
Yeah,
which and I mean that in a bad way.
Oh, no, I get it, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's very cohesive. Mm-hmm. There's a story, like, there's alcohol.
How very Epcot of them.
Yes.
So, yeah, we went for the opening of Radiator Springs.
Oh, my God, what a great ride.
And I'll never forget, because at the time I was doing professionally what you do now, marketing and social media, and we got stuck on the Radiator Springs Racer on one of the banks. So we were at, like, you know, a 90 to 80 degree bank, and we got to walk out of the ride.
Oh.
Which was infinitely cooler than the ride, which we went back and rode later. But I was like sitting there like snapping all these behind the scenes pictures and getting up close. And like you can go back to my Instagram from like I wonder whenever that was, like 2009 or something like that. And there's all these pictures, and there's this picture of my family walking up a hill. That's the ride. And it looks like we're lost in the desert. And it's just like the coolest thing. And I had friends who were doing social media at Disney at the time. And the one she called me, like she called my cell phone as I'm posting. And she's like, stop. Just stop. I've been trying to message you. You're ignoring me. Stop. It was really funny. But yeah, so no, Avengers Campus seems pretty cool. Like we're going to Disneyland in May, actually. So I'm excited to get my first trip to Batu.
Oh my God. I can't wait to go to Galaxy's Edge. Like I have friends who are annual pass holders that go all the time. I have friends at work at Apt Electronics in Glenview, Illinois, like who are annual pass holders in Florida who go all the time.
Nice.
And just hearing all of the stuff from their accounts is just like making me more excited to go.
Yeah, my wife has been watching a lot of like the Ordinary Adventures YouTube channel and stuff like that. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the food. It's going to have the Pym Tasting Kitchen is the main restaurant. And yeah, like so like big old pretzels, churros. Yeah, it's really interesting. They have a PB Super Sandwich, which is a banana smoothie shooter with tater tots. And it looks like a grilled cheese filled with bacon. And it may be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich filled with bacon and cheese. I don't know. But, like yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, it, like, I don't know. You know, we're going out there in May, and this opens in July. And like, my wife was like, are you upset we're not going to get there? And I'm like, no, because we can go back and see that in, like, 5 years. You know, it's not like – it's not like I'm like – I'm not thirsty for that like I am for Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not gonna go and like make my own Captain America shield.
Oh, if that's an option, I totally would do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I definitely would, but like I want to go and make like two lightsabers, so I have two lightsabers that I've made, and get Ahsoka's legacy lightsabers.
Man, I'm glad that I don't make as much money as I'd want to,
right?
Because like I would have all of that shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So like you know, I'm like I bought a one wheel today. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like an electric skateboard, right? But there's one self-balancing go-kart wheel that like sits in the middle of essentially a plank. And yeah, so when you like lean forward and it goes forward, you lean back and it slows down and stops and you know, goes like 20 miles an hour. For like a 20-mile range, So it's like, you know, I have an electric skateboard and I ride it all the time, and like I just get like range anxiety because I want to go on longer trips. So I've been like badgering my wife for weeks, and she's like, "Fine, you paid for the trip already, you can get one." So like that's like how like it's kind of dangerous right now. So it's like maybe if I spend a bunch of money now, I won't spend it there.
Maybe.
Who am I kidding?
But yeah. Who are you kidding?
So anyway, but yeah, no, I'm excited to see what they do. I'm definitely excited to get over to California Adventure and do Mission Breakout. I've purposely not been like looking a ton at the Avengers Campus after I saw the robot that they had to do like the Spider-Man web slinger thing.
Yeah.
Mainly because that's my nightmare, is robots that are super agile and come to life and kill us all. and if they're making one that can do Spider-Man's moves, like how are we going to stop that?
It's nuts. Yeah. It's crazy. This is how Skynet starts.
Exactly. Google's going to come online like with that robot, and that's going to be like everybody's worried about the coronavirus right now, and it's like, no, you have to be worried about the Spider-Man robots.
But see, this is how they have made it more digestible for me. They're disguising it as Marvel characters, so I'm more willing to let it go. You know?
Well, I mean, like I say this with all seriousness, is I'm on the side of the robots.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's like, you need help like sniffing out me bags? Let me know. I will go in and I will point whoever out to you. I'll show you like I'll unlock a door, you know? Yeah, just let me let just, you know. Yeah, let's do this. Let's get rid of most of humanity.
Well, that's true. I mean, you do make a very good point.
Yeah, I'm in. Thanos was right, man. Thanos was right.
That's what's right.
But well, actually, he wasn't necessarily right because he was like just half measure. Like a half wasn't enough. Like two thirds. Like, come on, Thanos. Get with it. So I can argue all day how the Avengers are the bad guys in Infinity War and Endgame. Like
Man.
you know. But yeah, but speaking of, so we got the final trailer for Black Widow this week,
Yes.
which I think is gonna be a pretty amazing movie. Because it's 100% unnecessary for them to make at this point. So there's zero pressure and they can do all bets off, which is why we're getting like the most badass version of Taskmaster that we've ever
Oh my
seen.
God. Did you notice him doing all of the Avengers
Oh,
moves?
yeah, he did the like Wakanda claws, he did the
Yep.
Spider-Man drop kick and flip out. He did the whole like going
Hawkeye.
Yeah, well, that, but he did the whole going under the punch and like over like Bucky does. Like,
Yep.
yeah, it was like awesome. And I mean, because that's what his power is. He can
Yeah.
mimic any fighting style. And him sitting there watching the tape from Iron Man 2, it's like, all right, is this movie gonna do for Iron Man 2 what Infinity or what Endgame did for Thor: The Dark World? Like,
Ooh.
make it like. Watch it like it's a must watch now or
Yeah.
what? So,
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
right? I mean, like Iron Man, like I don't know, like I think Iron Man 2 is the weakest of the three Iron Man movies.
Oh, 100%.
And like, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Iron Man 3 because Shane Black, and it's essentially just Lethal Weapon but Iron Man.
It really is.
I mean, you even have like the crazy suicidal white guy and Tony Stark, and then the aging black guy who's too old for this shit with Rhodey, and yeah, and it's at Christmas.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, no, I think this looks great. I really like the whole family dynamic that they're putting in there. I'm afraid it's gonna make me like David Harbour finally.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's I think this is the safest movie they've ever put out, and I think it's going to end up taking the most risks with a character, and that has me excited because
Yes,
there's zero
100%.
stakes. We know
Right.
her story.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Eternals where we don't know what to expect. We don't know who's going to respond to this.
Right.
Like, we already know that the Black Widow has an audience,
Right.
and people have been clamoring for this movie for the longest time. And now that they put it at like a Dolph Ziggler pace of character development, you
Right.
know, like now they're pulling the trigger when we don't need it to. But the fact that they're doing it in the first place is a great sign of where the universe is going from here on out,
Right.
because they already did the big name characters minus, you know, one large group of mutants. But,
Yep.
you know, and I guess the Fantastic Four as well. But, you know, they both mostly played their big cards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And well, are you buying into this conspiracy theory that she didn't die, that it was not her?
I don't understand how people would. Like, because if it wasn't her, then she would have came back at
Right.
the funeral, you
Right.
know?
Right.
So, like, there's no reason for her not to be at the funeral if she wasn't there.
Unless like she's just lost in space or in time or something, but
I
you know.
guess, but.
But then that's just like again proving that Marvel doesn't have the stones to actually kill people off.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It'll be very, very interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, Scarlett Johansson and I have had a rocky relationship
Yeah?
because, you know, I was a huge fan. Now I'm just a fan,
Really?
you know.
What soured you?
Ghost in the Shell.
Okay, so I'm going to conjecture that it's because you're of Asian heritage,
Yeah.
and she was a white actress hired to play an Asian role.
But also, like, her comments around the time in, in relation to that stuff, like, she just, like, I never really knew her as one to, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, she wasn't really afraid to, like, rock the boat, right?
Right.
But when she was commenting on this sort of stuff, like, she had no problem, like, just disregarding everyone's feelings about
Okay.
it,
All right,
you
I
know?
get it. I'm gonna say I watched that movie and she was the least of the problems that movie
Sure.
had.
When it comes to the movie itself, it looked great.
Yeah.
And the problem was more so with the, like, my biggest problem with the movie was the way people who were involved in it talked about it,
Yeah.
because the filmmakers were adamant that no, this isn't supposed to be an Asian character, but in the movie, they literally and figuratively whitewashed the character.
Right.
So, like, that was a big point for me, like, I was just like,
Yeah,
ugh.
and that's 100% fair, right? Like, it's an interesting time where representation is being more represented as things are being made and things like that, and you have more and more especially Asian actors, which we really haven't had a lot of showing up. Like I remember Randall Park played like a Hispanic character on Veep, right? But not an Asian character, and that made zero sense to me. And Randall Park is one of the funniest people on just in entertainment alone, and I always found that really strange. But yeah, so I understand, like I get it. This is coming from the white guy who, since I've been born, everything that came before and since has been made for me. So, but I like seeing other things, like, but I like seeing actual diversity, where
Yeah.
it's like, you have different characters of, different races, different orientations, different everything. And it's just there. That's kind of why I love Star Trek. Did you watch Lock and Key?
Not yet.
Okay. Did you read the comic?
Not all of it.
Okay. So there's two characters, and I talked about this last week, but or 2 weeks ago. One of the characters in the comic is black, and the other is white. And in the show, they switch them. And in doing so, the character that's black in the comic, they took away like a huge part of her story and her backstory by making her white.
Oh.
And it was like, why? Like, I don't understand why they did that. Like, just make them both black if that's what you're trying to do. Like, and it wasn't even like, because the one is like, she's in a convalescence home, and she doesn't come in, she wouldn't come into play until later on anyway. But then, I mean, they went a completely different direction with the show, which we can talk about that after you watch it. I'll just let you know I hated it. So, in the comic is like Lock and Key is literally my top three favorite comics of all time. So yeah, like I understand then, like why you're just a fan.
Yeah, and I mean, like, back in the day, I had the biggest crush on Scarlett Johansson. Like, don't get me wrong, she's still a very attractive woman, but, like, man, back in the day, I was like a super fan of her. I
Yeah.
remember actually when I was studying abroad in London when I was in college, she was dropping a new perfume or something,
Okay.
so she was making an appearance at Harrods. And I went, like, after class one day just so I could go to, like, maybe, like, catch a glimpse
Just
or something.
be kind of close to her.
Yeah. And, like, the only place that I could be was, like, in this balcony, a floor above her, like, basically looking down on her while she was on stage.
Oh wow.
And I'm just like, oh, look how close I
And then it was really weird because she asked you out on a date and then you
Yeah.
dated for a month. And
And
yeah,
that's
that's
why her and Ryan
crazy.
Reynolds broke up.
You broke them up.
Yeah, I'm
Nice.
sorry, Ryan. I'm a huge Ryan Reynolds fan, so I felt
Well,
bad, but
I think, him being with Blake Lively has given him just an infinite amount of just social media content just to mess with her. So
it's true.
I don't think Scarlett Johansson would have that level of self-deprecating humor.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So well, cool. We're you know, we talked about wrestling here, and you mentioned Dolph Ziggler, who you know, has his shortcomings as well, but we are in the road to WrestleMania season. As of recording this, we're like 3 days out from or past Elimination Chamber. And like, for considering that there wasn't a single match that I really wanted to watch on that card, I actually kind of enjoyed the show as a whole. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I was only really excited about two matches, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, in watching it, like, I had a great time watching pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like Black Widow, you know? Like, it was a very safe, like, event that they were putting on.
Yeah.
But it exceeded expectations, you know, like we hope that Black Widow will.
Yeah, but they took a couple, like, really big shots that you wouldn't expect the current WWE to be making, which I found kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think one, keeping the belts on Miz and Morrison, considering they gave it to them at the Super Letdown show, and then, you know, the whole thing with Shayna, who I'm a huge Shayna Baszler fan, and
yeah.
I loved every second of that. And I know people were complaining that there was too much, like, downtime in between her, like, eliminating people and the next person coming out. But I felt like that totally added to just the badassery of what she was doing.
So here's my thing. My friend messaged me after Elimination Chamber and was like, hey, I really don't like that they're trying to make Shayna Baszler into the female Brock Lesnar. And I said, no. That's not what they're doing. They're staying consistent with her character from her time in NXT.
Right.
You know, she doesn't just do the same five moves essentially over and over again. You know, looking at her career from NXT to now, her character has been like this badass cage fighter that people cannot defeat.
So I look at her as a more badass version of CM Punk.
Sure.
Because he never did the same move sets over and over. Like, he had a repertoire of maybe, I don't know, like 25 different moves that he could pull out at any given time, and he would. I think Stone Cold was a little that way. We were actually just talking about, my wife and I were just talking about this, because Stone Cold did not have he wasn't the best athlete,
sure.
You know? So, but he also wanted to make sure there was a good show going on every time. So
oh, yeah.
he did what he had to do to make everything fresh every time out. So he didn't just, you know, there was the setup for the stunner, but that was about it. Like, everything else was typically randomized and fresh as he went through.
Right.
And that's what Shayna does.
Yeah. And I mean, another point to further, you know, hammer home that she's not the female Brock Lesnar, her opponent's got offense in.
What, a couple? Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, like, still more offense than Ricochet got in at,
oh yeah, I know,
Saudi Arabia, you know? Like, I, even though John Cena has come out and said, oh, Brock is a joy to work with, like, I don't buy that for a second. If he was, then yeah, why wouldn't he face Matt Riddle?
I think Brock is a joy to work with if he wants to work with you.
Yeah,
as we saw from the Daniel Bryan match,
right?
So, or the Finn Balor match.
Exactly.
If Brock doesn't want to work with you, you get Dean Ambrose, or you get Ricochet. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like, okay. I think they need to stop doing their young talent like they have and serving them up as F5 fodder. But,
yeah,
you know.
And, I mean, that's what bothered me in the moment during the Royal Rumble. You know, they threw a bunch of these, you know, Royal Rumble MVPs at Brock, and then we didn't get as spectacular of a Royal Rumble match as a whole than we usually do.
Yeah.
But having the benefit of, you know, of being on the other side of it now, The Royal Rumble match, the men's Royal Rumble match, was actually really interesting to me. I think I can admit that I enjoyed it, even though in the moment I was furious.
See, I loved it. I loved every second of it. I thought it was great because one, he walked out first and you knew he wasn't walking out as the winner, right? And it's like, okay, when is this gonna happen? And it was, is he gonna let enough people get into the ring that they gang up on him? And how is that, and is it gonna be because someone gives him like a hard time, or is it gonna be because he gets cocky, and he got cocky, and you know, and Drew did what Drew did.
Pun intended, Ricochet.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, that was a great moment because it built up Ricochet and Drew McIntyre in the process, but then they didn't capitalize on it with Ricochet,
Right.
which is so unfortunate
Yeah,
because they could have done a lot with that.
I was hoping to see that like Brock Finn style match out of the two of them. But yeah, I don't know. So with WrestleMania coming up, if it happens, right? They have a ton of matches. I feel like they need to move WrestleMania to a 2-day program where they do half of it on Saturday and half of it on Sunday
I mean,
and do two main events that way.
I know that it works for Wrestle Kingdom, but I don't know. WrestleMania is just such a huge thing
Well, then they need to
right
not
now.
have 17 matches.
No, I agree. They just need to showcase the top storylines, you know? They need to focus on their biggest stories for WrestleMania.
So
You know, that
you're assuming that they remember what storylines are and how to
100%.
build them and good ones, you know. Yeah, 'cause I'm looking at like some of the stuff right now and we've got Lesnar versus McIntyre. We've got Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. John Cena versus The Fiend. Like, why? We got Becky versus Shayna.
And then Charlotte versus Rhea.
Which, again, why? Like, why? Like, how about
Why?
take Charlotte out of that and put Bianca Belair back in that match and let the two of them go on the biggest stage?
Oh, but I think that when Rhea Ripley beats Charlotte, it will propel Rhea to the next level.
I don't disagree, but I don't think Rhea's ready to be propelled to that next level yet.
I don't
And I
know.
love her. I love her. She's my favorite female in NXT at the moment.
After Survivor Series, after that build towards Survivor Series, I think Rhea can handle it.
Okay. Like, I mean, she's like 22 though, so like
Sure.
I don't want them to burn her out. And I think having just brought Shayna up, like let's give Shayna some time on the main roster, like to really like wreak havoc and let Rhea have a solid like 8 to 10 month run as champ down in NXT and like really like cut her teeth to get ready to come up to the main roster, because I think by that time Bianca will be ready to be like the face that runs the place down there. But that's just my two cents. Yeah, and then we have AJ Styles versus The Undertaker, which is a match I don't think anybody wants to see.
Sure, but if anyone's going to make the Undertaker look good, like he needs to look, after that horrendous match with Goldberg, they need someone to help the Undertaker get back to that status of phenom. And, you can't spell phenomenal without phenom,
Yeah,
so.
but like those days are never coming back. He's
No,
too
100%.
old, and like I don't think he's capable of putting on a good match like that anymore. I think he needed to hang it up. I think he's, I mean, bless him for trying, right? I mean, when I'm 933 years old, like he is, like I hope I'm half as spry, but he's gonna hurt someone badly, just like Goldberg is probably gonna hurt
Roman.
Roman badly. And
He could have hurt the Fiend so badly
yeah.
when he botched that jackhammer.
You mean that just the suplex? That thing there. But yeah, I really don't want to see that. And then like Edge versus Randy Orton has been the best build up of any match that they have on the card right now. And I don't think it's even
Sure.
officially on the card yet.
No, it's not. The things that are going on in that storyline are so just so interesting to me because I don't like Randy Orton. but like I'm invested, you know?
Because you hate
Like,
him. That's why you're
'cause I hate
invested. You
him.
hate him, and he's
Yeah.
like you know, he hurt Edge, you know, quotes hurt Edge when he came back, and he's like, "I'm just doing it to protect you, buddy. I'm looking out for you, so I hurt you." And then like, you know, he RKO's Beth Phoenix, and it's like, you know, I'm doing this to protect you guys, like, you know, and that's the beauty of it. Like he
Yeah.
thinks he's doing, like, you know, he thinks he's doing the right thing, and even though he knows he's not doing the right thing, because, you know, he never does the right thing. That's what
Like, where
makes his
was this
character
Randy
awesome.
Orton for the past like 5 years? Like, this Randy Orton is like peak Randy Orton.
Rolling around in that fat WWE money that, you know, he gets to not give a fuck.
on his fucking bus.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
There's one match that I think is getting teased, that I really, really want. Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak in a submission match.
That would be great because their match at Elimination Chamber was the one of the other ones I was actually looking forward to.
Yes,
So,
same. It's weird that like that was a match that you would have probably seen 10 years ago in Easton, Pennsylvania at a Chikara show.
right.
But it was like opening a WWE pay-per-view in 2020. And I haven't seen Daniel Bryan that happy when he stepped in a ring in like years.
Yeah.
Like he was ecstatic to go face to face with Drew Gulak. And he talked about it in his promo after the pay-per-view. Like he's been wanting to wrestle Drew Gulak since the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just their styles are so similar yet different that I love to see them, you know, butt heads.
Are you ever like just thankful that they didn't say, "Hey, we're gonna put Daniel Bryan down on 205 Live and
Oh,
just kind of
man.
make him the face of the brand," and like we all forgot about him?
Yeah, that would have sucked. But like, they recognize that he has that like intangible it factor, and they need him.
Oh, he
You know.
is. He's like, and I mean, since he's come back, he's been amazing. But
Yeah.
like prior to his injury, he was one of just the best showmen, both on the mic and in the mat, or on the mic and on the mat,
Yes.
of anyone. Like, you know, like you could harken back to, and I know Hogan wasn't great on the mat, but like, you know, he had that just like the crowd eating out of his hand like Hogan used to back in like peak
Yep.
Hulkamania, and like the whole Yes Movement thing, and then the Eco Warrior thing. Like, I still want that hemp belt.
Oh yeah.
Like, one,
Like, what a
because
great
like
call.
it's made out of wood and hemp, and it's just really cool looking. But two, because like, damn, that was a great idea. And
It was.
the fact that, like, you know, Kofi didn't kind of keep that, like, kind of surprised me. I thought maybe he was gonna walk around with that and rub it in Daniel's face.
Oh yeah,
But
like what Rob Van Dam did when he beat John Cena.
yeah, with the spinner.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. And then I guess so they're talking maybe Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins, which, you know, means it's gonna be Kevin Owens versus the AOP. Well, I guess Razor got man might be hurt. But like in Buddy Murphy, I
Yeah.
refuse to just call him Murphy.
I know.
Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman, which is like Braun can go home. Like, I don't need to ever see Braun Strowman in a match again, and I'll be fine.
See, you know what sucks? Like, there was a point in time where, like, I was kind of into Braun Strowman. And, like, Dolph Ziggler, they didn't pull the trigger when they should have.
Right.
And then I got tired of it. You know? And, like, I got even more tired of it when he took the Intercontinental Championship off of Shinsuke Nakamura, who was
Yep.
one of my favorites
Yeah.
and literally one of the best in the world. And he only defended that title three times
Yeah.
during his reign, which
Yep.
was bullshit.
Yep. So,
Like,
but I mean, Sami Zayn actually getting back in the ring to wrestle was one of my favorite things about the
so
show.
great.
And he's such a great heel. And the fact that he came cosplaying as Fidel Castro
Yeah.
cracked me up. So, I don't know, like it was just so funny. And you know, I love Sami Zayn. Like his like, you know, obviously El Generico, and then, you know, what he did down in
Who? I'm
NXT.
sorry. I don't
I
know who.
know the artist formerly known as.
I mean, didn't he die in Mexico trying to save children?
I think so. It was that giant fire where he saved the babies and the puppies.
Right.
You know, all 7,000 of them. Crazy.
National hero, that El Generico.
Global hero.
Global.
Global. So anyway, but yeah, I don't know. But I think the other thing that we would be remiss is just talking about WrestleMania is everything that's happening right now with the COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, there is like a real possibility that WrestleMania might not happen or could be canceled or postponed or done in a arena with no people there. NCAA is made that call with the NCAA tournament. As we are talking, the NBA just suspended their season until further notice because a player from the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert, tested positive for the virus.
Oof.
So the Jazz game against the Oklahoma City Thunder was postponed after the scheduled tip-off and fans were sent home.
Wow.
So yeah, that's I mean it is a thing. And so,
Yeah.
you know, it's like, do I leave my house?
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't go hoard toilet paper, so I think I have to leave at some point to get some supplies. But you know, but yeah, I mean, that's a real thing to consider.
yeah, like I know that the city of Tampa is meeting tomorrow about this.
Yeah.
So by the time, you know,
Yeah, I mean,
the
by the
audience
time
is
this
listening to
comes out,
this,
yeah.
it, you know, the fate of WrestleMania will be decided. But like for us right now in the moment, like who knows? Because Vince McMahon isn't going to give up WrestleMania without a fight.
Oh, no. And I mean, like I said, like before we started, like I think if they did WrestleMania up at Full Sail in that tiny little like band box of a arena where it's just the wrestlers, that could be a really interesting show, right?
So Marty DeRosa of Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling fame, and you know Colt Cabana's buddy fame, Marty tweeted earlier today, basically the same thing, except having it in the arena it's supposed to be in. So like just having no audience, just the wrestlers and the VIP talent that were supposed to show up, and you know all of them ringside. Because if you remember Halftime Heat recently, the one they did in NXT, like that was just in front of the wrestlers. And I think it still worked.
Yeah, 'cause the
Like
one
maybe.
that they did with Mankind and The Rock,
Sure.
like 20 years ago, whatever,
Yeah.
worked. And that was in an empty arena as well.
Yes.
So, but I like the idea. I didn't even think about putting like the wrestlers in the stands. And maybe there aren't entrances. It's just like, okay, they're up and it's like a wrestling meet or a swim meet or a basketball game where it's like, all right, it's my turn to go up and wrestle now. And they just walk out of the stands. That could be pretty cool.
But that also shows that they're all still fans also.
Yeah.
Like they're also as invested in these
Yeah.
characters as they are, you know, to be happy for their coworkers.
And it'd be fun to watch them cheer and boo and like, you know, maybe like there's a heel rooting for a face to win and like, you know, it's like, wait a second, what's happening here?
Yes.
That would be a lot of fun. And you could build a lot of storylines coming out of that as well. But so my wife is a big wrestling fan as well, and she's been watching the Monday Night Wars all day, because she worked from home today and she just kind of had that on, and then when she stopped working, she's like, oh, I'm just gonna keep watching this. And they got to the point where it was like NWO versus DX, and
Oh,
how
yeah.
like NWO, like everybody was a part of NWO at one point,
Yep.
and DX was, you know, never had more than eight members in its entirety of its thing. But it's because WWE back then was able to show restraint, and WCW wasn't, and now WWE has zero restraint and
Yeah.
zero patience. Whereas like AEW might like do something like that and build storylines out of it. But WWE would do every single finish would be some sort of wonky schmoz finish. And that would just ruin all the cool stuff that they were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, WWE frequently does that, so
Bastards. Bastards.
it's not like we should be surprised, but like when they do something interesting and fun and we're surprised, like that's still nice.
Right. And they should be celebrated for doing something interesting and fun, like Shayna Baszler choking out five other women.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just hearing my friend's voice in my head being like, oh, female Brock Lesnar. I'm just like, no, that's not what it is.
You're wrong.
It's way more interesting than that.
You are wrong. There is actual nuance here. Thank you, Paul.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I think, you know, looking at what we have so far, right? Like, I definitely want to see Drew McIntyre win.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see somebody else win the Universal or the Blue Universal title off of Roman and Goldberg. Maybe, like, someone just randomly comes down and says, no, I'm in this match now and it's mine.
But see, the thing about that match is that WWE has finally found a way to get people to cheer for Roman Reigns, you know,
for now.
Yeah.
You,
but
I still don't think he's, you know, and this is really sad to say for what he went through. I still don't think he's built up enough goodwill from the fans that he can be an effective champion. I think they like him because what he's been doing lately with Baron Corbin has been good. It's been too much of it, but it's been good. And with him running around like, this is my doghouse or my yard or whatever, and just like that, all that rhetoric, like, nobody wants that from him. Nobody wants him to be the top guy, just like nobody wants Seth Rollins to be the top guy.
Sure. And I mean, Roman's whole deal is that he survived, you know, when he very well couldn't have, but like, also, he's the lesser of two evils in this situation.
True.
Because he's there every week. He's busting his ass for WWE. You know, he's put in the work. Like, I remember when he first started and he could barely cut a promo. And now, he's come leaps and bounds.
Roman from 2 years ago, even, versus Roman now, is a completely different person. Like, just completely different professional wrestler. I mean, I don't know how he is as a person. I imagine he's a very nice man, so... but yeah,
it's just, you love to see a wrestler put in the work and improve. Like, there's a wrestler that I saw when I first moved to Chicago about 3 years ago, named Lainey Luck. Her whole gimmick was that she's the party unicorn. She would she would like dab, and she comes to the ring with like a unicorn head, and like, she was this bubblegum poppy. Mm-hmm. You know, but also really green at the time, and like, I wasn't really sure about her. Now she's the champion of multiple promotions.
Yeah.
She's, you know, worked hard to get her body in a place that she wanted it to be so she can be stronger.
Cool.
Like, she cuts a solid promo. I would go to shows to see her specifically.
Yeah.
Like, she's come a long way from 3 years ago. Like, she's one of the Midwest's top rising stars right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw her in AEW or Impact sometime soon.
Cool.
You know, but like, I love when wrestlers really put in the work like that, because it shows how dedicated they are to doing this the right way.
Yeah.
And even though Roman has had a shaky past with the fans, I think the fans are more than willing to forgive him now, you know.
And I know, like, you know, it wasn't him, right? It was Vince and the promotion. And, you know, I say this, and one of my all time favorite wrestlers is The Miz. And part of that is because, you know, I kind of knew him in college. He went to my university, and he was at Miami. He was a freshman when I was like a senior or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I took a fake ID from him once. anyway. So then he was on The Real World, and it's like, oh, hey, look, this dude from Miami. And then he was like, yeah, I want to be a professional wrestler. And then he went to Tough Enough. And like, I've always had like a really soft spot in my heart for Mike. But he literally like put in the work and became like one of the best work rate wrestlers they have.
Yeah. He's indispensable to the WWE.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, absolutely. He made sure that he worked so hard that they can't let him go.
And nobody cuts a promo like him. Nobody.
Nobody.
No one.
Nobody. Like, he's the second coming of Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, like he finds ways to reinvent himself while still maintaining the character. And I
Just
mean, like, I know
without
Chris
getting
Jericho.
fat.
Don't settle for a back elbow as your
Right.
finisher, you
Oh,
know?
yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. All right. So I would love to see Rhea Ripley win. I would love to see Drew McIntyre win. I'd like to see Drew Gulak go over Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And I think
That would
Daniel
be.
would totally, or Bryan would do that for him. You know,
I know you can't
so
see it, but there's a huge smile on my face right now. Because if that actually happens, like I would. So Drew Gulak is from the same neighborhood in Philadelphia that I'm from.
Oh.
He went to one of the rival high schools
Oh, never
of.
mind then. I changed that. I want him to get beat. I
Oh,
want
thanks.
him to I want to be like a Clubber Lang beating
Oh, okay.
Rocky so badly style that no. So I was having a conversation with someone from Philly earlier today. I was like, come on, you city, like your greatest athlete is Donnie Johnson. You know, not even Rocky anymore. It's Apollo Creed's kid. It's like Philly's claim to fame, and he's not even from Philly. So I'm teasing. But no, I mean, yeah, that would be great. Like for him to do that. That would be awesome. Like I would actually like to see Randy Orton beat Edge at WrestleMania to keep this
Really?
feud going to SummerSlam because Edge is on like a part-time basis, and I think Randy can do such a good job of carrying this feud without Edge having to be there every week, and it gives us that Apex Predator Randy Orton back.
Right.
So, I want the Fiend to wipe the floor with John Cena.
And I think John Cena wants that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like maybe that could be John Cena's last match. Like the Fiend like retires him would be a very
Sure.
interesting thing. Where though, you know, again, talking about indispensable from like the PR standpoint, like there's nobody who's ever been like John Cena.
Oh, God. The most make-a-wishes
Yeah.
ever out of anyone? Like, how can you get rid of that?
Yeah, I don't know. For the Intercontinental title, I want to see Sammy and Shinsuke
Oh,
go.
God.
I want Shinsuke to be like, you know what? I've had enough of your mouth. I'm gonna go do this my way, and I'm
Yeah.
coming for my title. And like, I would be okay with Sammy dropping it after like that being his first title defense.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Like, you know, because that match hasn't been set yet. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. I definitely want to see Kevin Owens beat the crap out of Seth Rollins.
100%.
Kevin Owens adopting the stunner has been such a cool thing.
Yes.
Talking about someone who reinvents themselves. I've never been a Rollins fan, even as part of the Shield. I thought he was the weak link. Yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, they have the Battle Royals. They've got, you know,
The women's
Becky.
tag title match
Yeah, well,
may or may not happen,
yeah,
depending.
so,
But it looks like Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross want to challenge the
yeah.
Kabuki Warriors,
But then they're talking about
which.
throwing Natalya and Beth in there as well, and it's like, why? Like, look, no,
Yeah.
like this is why WWE is in the trouble it's in, is because they keep going back to those stars of yesteryear,
Right.
and they don't realize that this is the most talented undercard that they've ever had, and
Yeah.
all they have to do is trust these people to do it. Because you look at every single one of these people who came out of NXT, who have a built-in fan base, and you know, people lose faith in them when they get to the main roster because they don't keep those characters. They try and mainstreamify it, which doesn't need to happen, or change it in some way that, you know, it just doesn't work. And it's like you spend all this time and effort and money building these characters up. Do it. Just do it.
Yep.
Like, you know, to quote Palpatine, do it.
Yeah, do it.
So, but yeah. All right. Let's get to time travel.
Okay.
So you're doing a podcast about time travel movies, which
I am.
I'm 100% like in to listen to. Because like I told you, I don't like time travel as a plot device. I
Okay.
think a lot of times it is just silly. And it, I don't know. I mean, and there's time travel stuff that I have liked in the past. But I think more often than not, like, it's not fun. it's just like, okay, like I know what you're going to do before like you do it because you've kind of written yourself into this hole. That's kind of what made like Bill and Ted kind of fun, right? You never thought they were going to pull it off. But they were also just going back in time and plucking people out to give a report that everybody thought was actors.
I mean, so I guess let me start here. The reason why I like time travel movies, I think, is because I love nostalgia.
Okay.
Even if it's nostalgia for some time or place that I wasn't a part of.
Okay.
You know, like I'm one of those people that I think if you bottled nostalgia and like sold it, I would probably buy a case.
Oh, you would weekly. Do the nostalgia like from Watchmen? Like you yeah. would buy other people's memories?
Right, because like I essentially, if I'm looking at my movie collection right now, and like that's kind of what it is. It's, you know, it's sure I have Star Wars and, you know, all the Marvel movies and all my Disney movies, but then I have all of these like Casablanca, It Happened One Night, like all of these obscure like TV shows that mm-hmm. people probably don't remember that much. Just like Earth Girls Are Easy, you know,
such
like
such a great movie.
Such a great movie.
Jeff Goldblum is awesome in that. And it's Gina Davis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gina Davis is great in that as well. So
but yeah, it's like and you look at my Spotify, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Hank Williams.
Okay.
For some reason, along with the Soggy Bottom Boys and
nice.
The Crazy Rich Asians soundtrack and two different versions of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Like I have this such eclectic selection of media to consume, you know, because I love going back to those different time periods and seeing how they were. So for time travel, and time travel movies, you know, you take someone from the quote unquote modern day and put them into this other time period. I just think it's a lot of fun. Like I've always enjoyed this like fish out of water type of a story.
So you can do the fish out of water without the.
Absolutely. You can.
Like you look at a movie like Blast from the Past, right?
Yeah.
That's a total fish out of water. And I would argue that's kind of a time travel thing in a way.
It is. Yeah.
Great movie. It's a lot of fun. Brendan Fraser kills it. Alicia Silverstone is awesome. Nathan Fillion playing the kind of character he should always play. you know, so I get it. It's like, and I love Back to the Future 1.
Not
I like
much
parts of 2 and 3, but I'm not like a huge fan of, like, I don't have to watch 2 and 3. Like I watch Ghostbusters, but I almost never ever watch Ghostbusters 2, right?
Back to the Future 2 is like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, why? Like, and I'm not like why, Ben? Tell me why. No, it's like, yeah. But, I mean, why is it one of your favorites?
So it adds another layer onto that fish out of water thing that I initially brought up, you know, and adds another fish of the same person, mm-hmm. you know. So like it's almost like those Benny Hill videos, you know, where they're like running, just narrowly missing each other. Like, I don't know. I love a good farce.
Okay.
You know, and I love a good alternate universe. You know, it's just Back to the Future 2 has so many of the storytelling tropes that I've come to like love so much in one movie.
Okay.
So plus, you know, Back to the Future 1 is like a cinematic, you know, milestone.
Oh, yeah.
Like masterpiece, yeah. You know? So sequels tend not to be good. So for Back to the Future 2 to bring something new to the table really made it stick with me.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, I can see and appreciate your point while, you know, still not having enjoyed it as much. But that's the beauty of all of this stuff, right, is we all have different opinions and we all bring different aspects of our own life to things. Like, did you like Joker?
I did not.
Okay. I hated Joker. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was I think it could have been a good movie with a good director.
Absolutely. That is 100%.
And I think it could have been a good movie with Jake Gyllenhaal instead of Joaquin Phoenix, but I'll leave that for another day.
Yeah.
So, no, okay. No, I okay. So I understand the your like the time travel thing. And I love the idea of you and Aaron watching these movies and then talking about them. I think that makes for a great thing, because you can look at like, okay, Marty came back and almost immediately got access to a new time machine, right?
Yeah.
Why not go back again and fix some of the stuff that he messed up? And like, Marty, for a character who is all about like, don't call me yellow or I'm not a chicken, certainly had zero integrity about going back and like coming back to his new present and being rich and wealthy and like, you know, like it's like, oh, like, you know, and who's gonna argue that? We all would do what he did in his shoes, but he's presented at the as this person who has like a higher like moral authority in a way. And then he almost sleeps with his mom. So yeah, you know, I mean, it's like,
I think that's what makes Marty McFly such a good protagonist, because he's so not problematic, but like he's not a Boy Scout. You know what I mean? Like he's flawed. There you go. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. He's a flawed person. So it makes him feel real. That's why I like Marvel characters for the most part in the Marvel universe, because like these feel like these could be real people.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel universe, the world around us,
mm-hmm.
you know, the world outside your window,
yeah.
is I believe what Stan used to say.
That was one of their taglines. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's how I feel about some of my favorite movies like that, like cool. with Back to the Future, even though the time travel thing doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Or isn't, at least it's not commercially available.
All right. So what are some of the movies you guys are going to review?
Okay. I don't want to give all of it away, but the first one we're doing is Hot Tub Time Machine.
All right.
I know, weird choice, right?
No.
Like, it's just, I don't know. We didn't want to go with one of the classics right up front, and we just wanted to like have fun with it, I think.
I think Hot Tub Time Machine works because of the comedy and Rob Corddry in particular.
Yeah.
Lugal was just a masterstroke at the end. And then you have Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God.
And just kind of the whole, like, kind of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge of it all. But okay, cool. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Sebastian Stan right. also is peak 80s villain in this movie.
So
that's always fun to revisit.
I bought my daughter a spider, like, jacket. Not the, like the ski jacket, but it's like, you know, it's that brand, but yeah. that's the brand like that all the ski villains wore in the '80s.
Yep.
And so I bought her one. I'm like, and I was explaining it to her, and then I got one for Christmas, and I'm like, man, now I feel like one of the bad guys. And I always identified with like John Cusack and Better Off Dead and, you know, like the dudes from, oh shoot. What was the movie? Aspen Extreme, you know, that kind of thing. Like I was never I was never like the guy who wore like the spider gear. I was, you know, I had like the stuff I got at Target. But no, that's cool. All right, can you give away the second one or no?
I'll leave that one to be a surprise.
Okay, so now
leave them wanting more, Brian.
Yeah, I get that. So when does the first episode drop, or has it dropped?
It has not dropped yet.
I didn't think so. Okay.
And we have not announced when it will drop as of this recording. I will let you know that it is it should be dropping before summer.
Okay. So when Ben drops this new show, we will definitely tweet out and share about it so you guys can go listen to it. And then you did post credits was one of your previous ones, and Pretentious Film Majors, which I do remember. I never listened to post credits though. What was that one about?
It's okay. Post credits was my attempt after the Pretentious Film Majors to still kind of stay in that spot of like, oh, I'm a movie critic and doing all these interviews on red carpets and I want to talk about all this entertainment stuff, but I didn't have the resources that I did with the Pretentious Film Majors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that radio show took place while I was in college. Mm-hmm. So we had all of the college's equipment and the radio station and all of the help that we could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Whereas Post Credits was a podcast about entertainment and everything that happens after the credits. You know, so like once the credits roll, then we can talk about it, you know. And I covered everything. Like I covered theater, I covered wrestling, I covered TV, movies, comic books, all of that.
Cool.
It was basically an excuse for me to share some of my interviews with people and to talk about the stuff that I like. If I remember correctly, I talked about the Young Bucks nearly every episode.
Wow.
And my producer used to call me out on it all the time.
That's funny.
He'd just be like, why are you talking about the Young Bucks again? I'm just like, I saw the wrestle live.
I don't know. I like them. They're fun. They're, yeah, they cosplay. cool. All right. So let's close out on Star Trek. How are you new to Star Trek, being the level of geek that you are?
I know.
The level of just fandoms that you're a part of. How did Star Trek slip through the cracks?
So when I was growing up, none of my friends watched Star Trek. It wasn't until college that I met people who were like really adamant about it.
Call those people growing up friends if they didn't watch Star Trek? I'm kidding. So,
well, I mean, I was talking to someone else about this recently. Like growing up, you know, I was nerdy, but I didn't hang out with the type of nerds who played D&D, who watched Star Trek, who watched Doctor Who. Like all of that stuff came to my life a lot later. And even D&D, I still don't play, but I really want to. Like I didn't find the people who were enthusiastic about that stuff until much later in life. And so for Star Trek, my very good friend and occasional writing partner, Kevin McCrory, he was the one who was super adamant about Star Trek for me in college, but I just never got around to actually watching it. Up until that point, I had seen the J.J. Abrams stuff, and I watched that as it came out. And Kevin was just like, I swear to God, Star Trek is better than those. And I'm just like, I believe you. I'll get around to it eventually. And then I started watching Doctor Who. So I was involved in that for a little while. But since moving to Chicago, I have a lot of friends who are huge Star Trek fans. And once I saw the trailer for Picard, because of how much I like Patrick Stewart, I was like, oh, I want to watch this show. And they're like, well, if you watch this other stuff first, you'll understand it better. And I'm like, great. Make me a list of all the episodes I should watch. So my friends Dave and Stella, along with Kevin, compiled like an episode list for Next Generation for me to watch.
Cool.
And then as I was going through it, I was just like, oh, I don't want this show to end just yet. So I would watch more episodes than the ones that they recommended.
Right.
So until eventually I pretty much watched the entire series.
Okay.
And the movies. So I was like, okay, I'm ready for Picard. And then my friends were like, oh, but Seven of Nine. So then I watched Voyager and got hooked.
So did you like Voyager?
Voyager was fine. There were some parts that I really, really liked, like the Doctor and Harry, and of course Seven. Janeway has her moments too. It's just that for me, it seemed like her character was inconsistent, to the point that even other versions of herself called her out on being like, why would you do that?
So, Voyager is far and away my least favorite Star Trek series, right?
Really?
But Janeway is my favorite captain.
Oh.
Because she's so inconsistent. Because she's dealing with an unimaginable task of all of a sudden having what should be a generational ship, or what is a generational ship, and how does she keep people alive? And to quote Laura Roslin, like, when do they need to start having babies? You know, things like that. And so I loved her. Harry Kim was the worst character on that show.
So here's my thing about Harry.
The actor is great. The actor, Garrett, I think was his name. Garrett something. it's fantastic, and he played the role to a T. But Harry Kim was just the weekly red shirt who just narrowly didn't get killed.
I mean, I guess this is me being naive, but like similar to how I felt about Jordy LaForge, I just wanted Harry Kim to get a win. And he didn't get one.
I understand. Like, I understand that, but he was, oh God, just, I don't know.
I mean, eventually he became a captain.
Yeah.
So well, that's a win.
You know. Yeah, he got his win. Both of them. I think Jordy became a captain too, right?
Yes.
Right. And then I enjoyed Seven of Nine on the little bit we saw her on Picard so far. More than I enjoyed her on Voyager.
Interesting.
Now, I mean, she's beautiful. And, like, I think a lot of times, though, she just got reduced to that skin suit.
Yeah.
And Seven of Nine wasn't really ever meant to be a fully baked out character. And it was just by happenstance that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Why? Was there something like in that the fans really embraced her, so they brought her back for more? Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, I think she got like some interesting character growth at the end of Voyager that I don't think they intended to do. That it was just like, okay, like Jerry is a fantastic actress, and like let's give her something, because Star Trek has never just been about like the TNA, right?
Right.
What was her name on the Vulcan from Enterprise, T'Pol. Like they went a little TNA heavy with her for the first couple seasons of Enterprise, and you know, for a while there, like Troy, Counselor Troy's neckline plunged a little deeper every episode. But
well, so did Picard.
Well, exactly. but like it was never like, you know, they never overly sexualized a character until Seven of Nine.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I felt like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where having her back in Picard and having her be the badass that she is much preferable.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I liked about Seven of Nine on Voyager was similar to why I like Data. You know, I love that exploration of humanity, you know, what it means to be human, you know, from these two characters that were not, essentially. So, like, their analysis of being human, you know, I guess this is kind of, this feels kind of corny to say, but, like, by them examining what it means to be human for them made me think about what it means to be human for the rest of us.
Okay.
You know,
I think that's what they're intended to do, though.
Sure. And like, so in that sense, I think they succeeded for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I also didn't have to wait week to week for all of these things to happen to get the conclusions or the answers that everyone had to wait forever for, you know.
So like you like Picard?
Yes, yeah, I like Picard a lot.
Have you watched Discovery yet?
I have not.
Okay. You have to watch Discovery.
I haven't seen Discovery, Enterprise, or Deep Space Nine, or the original series.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Deep Space Nine is probably my favorite. It was for a long time. I don't know if that really still stands, and I don't think it holds up as well. Enterprise was probably my most rewatchable series because I like Scott Bakula until Picard and Disco, and now Discovery is giving me something, and I'm not gonna spoil it, that I have wanted to see out of Star Trek for 20 years.
Okay.
So that happened at the end of season 2.
Do I need to watch anything prior to Discovery to jump right in?
Nope. You can just jump right in.
Okay.
So maybe that's kind of the beauty of it. So I watched the first episode of Picard, and then 3 days later was caught up on Discovery.
Oh.
So
yeah.
I just busted through it. Like I could not hit next episode fast enough.
Yeah, maybe in the break between Picard seasons 1 and 2, I'll watch
Yeah.
Discovery.
Yeah. Cause season three is coming back soon or coming soon. So, but yeah, it's just, it's so funny to me that you're new to all of this. And like,
I know,
so excited for you too, because like, there's like, IDW has done some really cool comics, like crossovers with the Next Gen and like the Green Lantern Corps, the Next Gen and like Planet of the Apes and things like that. You had like a whole run from DC with like the original series characters, like that took place during the movie timelines and stuff.
So I picked up a Star Trek comic for two reasons. One, I like Ensign Ro.
Yeah.
And she was featured in some comics, and I picked those up. Two, I can't remember his actual name on the show, so I keep calling him Captain Fraser Crane. I wanted to know more about the character that Kelsey Grammer played. And because I remember watching that episode, I remember being stoked leading up to it, because Kevin knows that I love Fraser. So he was like, hey, this is Kelsey Grammer's episode. I'm like, awesome. And then when he was in it for like 2 seconds, I was just like, that's it? And he's like, there's a novel and some comics. And I'm like, I need to get those immediately.
Yeah, the novels are good. Well, not all good. I mean, it's like the Star Wars expanded universe. Some of it's really good. Some of it's not. But yeah. Cool, man. Like, I'm so excited for you to have this journey to like go through and watch some of this stuff. And like, good or bad, you should definitely watch as much of it as you can.
Yeah, 100%. I'm definitely into it. Like, this is how I felt when I got into Doctor Who when I was in college, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like I mentioned, I studied abroad in England, but I didn't start watching Doctor Who until after I came back.
Sure.
Because I was looking for all of this, like, British television just to remind me of being back over there. And then I was kicking myself because I was like, I could have gone to see all of this shit in person because the Doctor Who experience was still around in Cardiff.
Oh, okay.
So I could have gone to all of that and just like didn't, like an idiot.
It was right there.
Yeah, right there. Ugh. But like, I feel the same way in that like now I'm getting to jump into this like decades old fandom, you know, and all my friends are so excited about it and they're excited like you are for me to like watch it. And in a way, they're kind of like reliving how they watched it for the first time.
Yeah. So like, we did a whole like year of Star Trek with the, I think it was the 50th anniversary or whatever, where we did like all the movies at that point up until like Star Trek Beyond came out, like all 13 movies at that point.
Wow.
We did a month where like each week we did a different series that we talked about and everything. It was like a whole ordeal. And there are definitely like, there's lists of like what to watch.
Cool.
So like if you go back to the old show notes and just like look up Star Trek.
All right.
It was like 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been doing this for like 5 years.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Congratulations.
To think about. Yeah, I know. The 5th anniversary is coming up into like July.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have like a big extravaganza, fireworks. Like, I'm going to have pyro. Like,
nice. Know. Have someone compose theme music or like new entrance music for you.
Oh, yeah.
Some special ring gear.
So, yeah, I definitely like, I have the t-shirts and stuff, and you know, I'll get a special t-shirt made.
If you have a Ric Flair style robe made for the Infamous podcast, I think that'll be a wise investment.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that could be like a family heirloom moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, and just be like, this is it, we're done. Last episode, 5th anniversary, Ric Flair type robe, I'm out. Mic drop. And that's the last sound you hear, is just the mic dropping. And they're like, wait, the episode just started. but
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Shh. Nobody's listening at this point. Anyway, that's not true. But yeah. All right. Well, cool, man. Anything else you want to talk about real quick? Or?
I could talk to you all day. Like,
yeah.
We could literally
We'd
go.
We absolutely
for hour,
could.
But...
Yeah. So real quick, the comics, like you're, I think you're as behind as I am, right?
Oh man, I'm so behind.
I think I'm like 13 episodes behind on X-Men right now. I have like, I only read the first issue of Doomsday Clock. But I have the next 11
still,
literally
still
sitting.
Not over. So
well, no, they all 12 are out now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, and it's literally I can reach out and touch them, and like it's like I don't know. But I did just read Strange Adventures number one. I was telling you when we before we started recording,
yeah.
Where I don't know if you're a fan of Adam Strange or not. He's like
I mean I'm interested.
He's
but.
Like a space rocketeer, so yeah. That's why I like him because I like the Rocketeer. Or I guess vice versa, whatever. But it's a really interesting 12. It's a 12 issue maxi series, so I'm kind of all in for it after the first issue. And I really enjoy Tom King. I liked what he did with Batman, so I'm excited to see him take on a fringe character.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
So,
like, I'm so behind on Sex Criminals that I just forgot what number was the last issue that I
yeah.
read. So I'm just going to reread all of them in anticipation for the end of the series.
So I have the end part two, issue 27. I don't know if that's the last episode or last issue or not. But
I think it's supposed to be.
Okay, well, then I'm probably four behind. On that one, but
yeah, I need to pick that issue up too, because
that's been
a
great little perverted awesome just crazy story.
Oh yeah.
That Zdarsky has done to a masterful Matt Fraction and Zdarsky have just killed.
Yeah, 100%. So. Both of them are insanely talented. And to have them on this book has been a joy. I'll be very sad when I get to the very end.
Yeah, now you know. I don't think I'm going to read that one. I'm just going to leave it like we were talking about. It just never ends.
Just leave it.
It's just it. That's it. It's done. Like it'll never, ever end.
Yeah. Speaking of never ending, because they keep coming back, I'm very behind on Firefly.
Oh, okay.
I read the first, I want to say, four. And, like, they're definitely way, way beyond that at this point.
Yeah. Like, they did, like, an all-girl series with it, too.
I think that was, like, a graphic novel.
Yeah. So I have that. I did.
Yeah, I got to read that.
I don't know. I kind of, like, fell out of love with Firefly.
What?
Yeah.
I'd still love it. I'm a fan. But also, Greg Pak is writing the series.
Yeah. Well, I do like him, so, yeah.
Yeah, like Amadeus Cho, one of my favorite Marvel characters, you know. But I'm extremely behind on Agents of Atlas.
Okay.
And the series that are connected to that. I know that it's just been like a series of like limited series, but I read the one for War of the Realms and then haven't gotten around to the other stuff yet.
Okay.
But I bought them all when they came out so that I could hopefully have more to read in the future because that team of Agents of Atlas was just so fun.
Yeah.
Like I know they just took all the Asian and Asian American characters in the Marvel universe at the moment and threw them together, but like, it just felt right. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Amadeus Cho, as what was it? The totally awesome Hulk.
Yes.
I think is one of the more underrated Marvel series that's been out in the last 25 years.
100%.
Did you like when they brought Jeremy Lin in and they had the Linsanity 2 issue arc?
It was so funny.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
It's like, do you think they, like, how much input did Jeremy Lin have on that, right? Or did they just like, hey, we're just going to use your likeness. Here's like a pile of cash.
Maybe.
but yeah, I don't know.
Either way, they made it work, and it was a lot of fun.
Yep, absolutely. So, cool. What else are you behind on?
Snot Girl, Runaways, Money Shot.
Oh,
have you heard about this book?
I've heard about it. I haven't read it.
Yeah, I've been buying all the issues, but I haven't read any of it yet. But the premise sounded funny enough that I would probably want to read it, so I've been picking it up. Let's see, Glow versus the Babyface I'm behind on.
Okay.
The Man That Fucked Up Time.
I heard about that one. I didn't read that one yet.
I'm not gonna lie, I picked it up because of the title. so I hope it's good.
I just picked up Outer Darkness Chew crossover. I don't know if you read Chew or not. The John Layman, Rob Gilroy Gilroy.
About
the people with food powers.
Right.
The main character and his whole family is obviously Tony Chu. So you might enjoy that. I don't think John Layman is Asian, but you never know. But like it's done too. It's only 60 issues, so you can go and finish and everything. And it's the world where I feel like I pitch this every episode to like the guests I've had on lately, because it's up there in that top five list. So like the FDA is the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world.
Oh my God!
Because there was a avian flu or avian type flu that went out and killed a bunch of people, so chicken became illegal, and so now like there's black market chicken and stuff like that, and it's just what? Like yeah, and so then all these people have food related powers. So like Tony Chu is a sibiopath, and anything he eats, he can see its entire history up until that point.
How sexy does this comic get?
Super sexy. Because he's a total badass cannibal. Because he's a cop. And so he'll, like, nibble on, like, the pinky toe to figure out how people got killed. It's so cool.
Oh. Yeah, my mind went somewhere else entirely.
I know. So.
that sounds awesome. I will have to check this out.
Yeah, Chu is amazing. It is, like, I think it's on Comixology Unlimited, so.
Okay. I mostly heard of it because the artist did a variant cover for CM Punk's Thor story.
Yeah.
So that was when I first became familiar with the name.
Okay.
But I hadn't read anything. I mean, I still haven't read anything, but I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, totally worth checking out.
There was one other thing that I got that I've been excited to read for a long time, but I still haven't gotten around to it. I bought Is This Guy For Real? The Unbelievable Andy Kaufman by Box Brown.
Oh.
Box Brown did a great book about Andre the Giant. And, like, he illustrated it and everything. So he did the same thing for Andy Kaufman.
Cool.
So I'm really excited to read that because I was obsessed with Andy Kaufman when I was a kid.
Yeah. I still kind of am. So.
Yeah, same. He's still out there.
I don't know. At this point, he's still out there. But he was still out there for much longer after he was supposed to still be out there.
Oh,
I definitely believe that. So, but I don't know. That's cool. I'll have to check that out. I'm going to have to find that.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Even his Andre the Giant book, too.
Yeah.
Like, Box Brown is just has a great... has a great eye for these autobiographical stories.
Cool. Did you ever get to see Andre wrestle in person?
Oh, dude, I'm not that old.
Ha ha ha. I got to see him wrestle Hillbilly Jim.
No way.
Yeah. At a house show. But it was still awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So I'll never forget it.
Like he was humongous.
Yeah, he was giant. Like literally.
Yeah.
The name fit. And Hillbilly Jim was not a small guy. He was like 6'8", like 350. And he was like, he wasn't like Haystacks Calhoun fat either. I mean, he was like, he was built like, you know, like they were back then.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was awesome. It was so cool to watch.
So
like, I have to check that track that comic down as well.
Yes. 100%. Dude, this is fun.
Yeah, dude, you got to come back. After the show, your show comes out and has had a couple episodes, come back and we can talk about how it's going and more about time travel and why it sucks.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, where can everybody find you online?
All right. So on Twitter and Instagram, I am bsilverio20. That's SILVERIO. I'm mostly on Instagram, but I tweet occasionally too, I guess. Mostly about wrestling.
Yeah.
But I feel like my Twitter is all wrestling, basically.
You're deep into to wrestling Twitter, in the community there. I don't know. I found I've gone to like Reddit more and more and more for wrestling stuff with the squared circle, r/squared circle.
Oh yeah.
Just because the comments are so fun to read.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Redditor, but I visit occasionally.
Yeah. Reddit's a good one. I like that one a lot. So anyway. All right. Well, cool, man. Thank you. So for everybody out there, you can find us obviously at infamouspodcast.com. If you are subscribed, thank you. If you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star review so we can have more people like Ben on.
Yay.
And if you aren't subscribed yet, go to Spotify and subscribe. I think it's the best podcast player out there. And if you do the show a favor, grab one of your friends' phones, go to Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on their Spotify for them, and then turn on their notifications so they get a notification every Sunday when our new episodes come out. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Infamous Podcast. And if you like what you hear and you want to help support me in the show, it's Infamous Podcast, or it's patreon.com/infamouspodcast, or you can go to our website and click the Comixology link and get a free 30-day trial to Comixology Unlimited, or check out our merch store with some of our cool shirts. I'm actually wearing my Erebesh Infamous Podcast shirt today, so well worth checking out. So anyway, Ben, thanks again. This has been
Thank
awesome.
You.
Can't wait to do it again, and we'll see you guys next time. Later.
Bye.